Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR on this Wednesday. And we got a lot to talk about this next hour and 25 minutes. And we hope it's going to be some good stuff to listen to. And not everything we have to share here. And that's what we do on Christian radio. We share. Don't we, Ed? Ed
Battagliano? Yes, that's right. Because Christians share everything.
We share everything.
You know, I just want to share about Mrs. So-and-so down the street.
Right.
Just so you can pray.
Right.
Just want to share with
right.
you.
Right. So we're going to be sharing from our heart. Our hearts, as it were. Walker Wildman, good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Walker, if people want to share their hearts with us on the internet, what do they need to do?
Well, they need to visit Facebook first. Then you can visit YouTube. Both those places you can watch the show. Share your thoughts on Facebook in the comments section. Also, I'll post the news stories on Facebook. And lastly, you can download the American Family Radio app on your smartphone, your mobile device, your tablet. And you can listen anywhere, so long as you have an internet connection.
Now, today's issues on Facebook, how many friends do we have?
I think we have over 12,000.
12,000 friends?
12,000
we didn't even
now.
Start promoting that until about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So how many people do say not our friends? Do they have a place for not friends?
They don't.
They don't only
no,
friends?
Friends only.
So it's all positive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now on our post you can do a thumbs down.
Do people do that?
Some do.
They thumbs down us?
Yeah.
Well, I've read some of the comments. I think we have some people who watch and I think they're atheists or something. They hate us.
Why do they watch? You're wasting your atheist life. Watching a bunch of people who believe in Santa Claus. You need to move on. You've only got whatever time you have left, which isn't determined by God.
And I'll say this. I don't watch MSNBC. I don't sit there and punish myself by watching people I disagree with.
You're telling me people would actually spend time to watch this show who hate us?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And make themselves angry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do it to some of our talk radio hosts all the time. They just...
Right Wing Watch. That's an organization who they pay people to sit and watch our shows and write about them. Really?
Yeah,
that's their
literally.
Job.
Yeah.
They go in at 8 every morning, they clock in, they sit down, they watch AFR, and they write about it.
Yeah.
And then they go home at night. I don't know what they do then.
Beat the dog or something. I don't know what you do if...
Well,
I'm talking about atheists now.
They work themselves up to starting with Sandy throughout the day, and then they reach a fever pitch with Brian Fisher in the afternoon from 1 to... Huh? Am I right?
Yes.
1 to 3, they're just going nuts, these people who hate, you know, the Right Wing Watch and everybody. Because Brian just sends them.
Yes.
Huh?
That's nobody, probably an accurate description.
Nobody sends them into orbit like Brian. And then at 3, I think Bert and Alex come on, and the people who...
And preach
take,
the
they
word.
They take a nap.
Yes.
They take a nap.
They don't listen to the Bible.
They don't listen to Bert and
They get ramped back up when Abe comes on.
When Abe comes on, they go... They.
Lindsay on Facebook said they are called internet trolls, and they are everywhere. Smiley face.
They are. And I just learned a couple of years ago what a troll was, but they are, but... Why do you want to spend your life trolling? Huh?
By the way, I've found out that these internet trolls actually do live under bridges.
It's
true.
All right. Chris Woodward is here, and he's not a troll.
No, I am not.
Have you ever been one, Chris?
No. I did see the movie Trolls.
What, is that a Disney movie? What is that?
No, it's DreamWorks, I believe.
What was it
What's
about?
What's the difference, really?
Oh, yes. And listen.
It's an animation. It's an animated film based on those little trinkets we used to have when Walker and I were growing up.
Is there a difference between a troll and a gnome?
Yes.
Yes.
There is? They're different tribes? Or?
Yes. In the world of identity politics, they are different different.
So you can be a gnome.
They're different minority groups in the world of fables and myths.
Now, okay. if you are a gnome and you want to identify as a troll,
who am I to stop you?
That's right.
Okay. That's right.
Yes. All right, Chris, what's happening out there in the world of
news? Well, we have breaking news out of the Supreme Court today. This is the Janus versus American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees decision.
The Supreme Court. That was painful.
Thank you. Janus versus AFSCME is how it's been labeled. But the Supreme Court, in a 5-4 ruling this morning, ruled that government unions cannot force non-union workers to pay dues and fees as a condition of employment. This is a case that involves a man named Mark Janus. He's a child support specialist for the state of Illinois. He was forced to pay money out of every paycheck to a union, and he sued the state of Illinois and the union to protect his First Amendment rights to choose for himself whether he's going to support a political advocacy organization like a union. Janus had concerns that the union where he worked was using his dues and fees to fund candidates and commercials, things like that, and therefore it was a violation of his First Amendment rights. In a 5-4 ruling today, the Supreme Court said the government unions can't do that. This is considered a landmark ruling going forward, and I was talking with Brad Dacus of Pacific Justice Institute in the last 30 minutes. Brad seems to think that we could actually see a case in the not-too-distant future where a private sector worker who has no choice but to pay dues and fees as a condition of employment will take his or her case to the U.S. Supreme Court. So in theory, you could kind of have a national right-to-work ruling without Congress having to get involved.
Now the other side of this argument, mm-hmm. and it has been going on for years. There was a 40-year-old
right.
or something.
They
case
overturned that.
They overturned that. The other side on this would argue that public unions, public employees, mm-hmm. are all represented in collective bargaining agreements. The unions go to bat with the government and try to get more pay, for example, greater benefits, and when they do get those good decisions, then all the employees benefit. So therefore, all the employees, even if they don't want to join the unions, mm-hmm. should be forced to pay for something they're benefiting from. So that's the opposite argument that the unions were making. What Janus is arguing, I think, you know this because you've written about it for One News Now, is, correct me if I'm wrong, I appreciate the representation, but you are also taking my money and doing things politically, mm-hmm. supporting pro-abortion candidates, right. and stuff like that, that I don't agree with, so I don't want to be forced to pay.
Spot on. That's a fantastic explanation. And to be honest, this case is only at the Supreme Court because a very similar case out of the state of California involving an educator, a public educator, took her similar argument to the Supreme Court. That was when Scalia was still alive. Scalia actually heard the arguments, but he passed away before a decision could be made.
Uh-huh.
And because he was absent and they hadn't filled the seat, it deadlocked, and therefore it paved the way for Janus to get his case, very similar case to the Supreme Court today where they ruled 5-4 in his favor.
Yeah, this is a win for the free market. It's a win for workers, and it's a win for capitalism. Because if unions are so good and they do such good work, which they would say, then people will voluntarily give money to them. Just like private organizations such as the American Family Association, ACLU, on and on and on, we have supporters who voluntarily give money to us. So these unions are not part of the government, thus they can't tax everyone who works for these companies. So if their work is so good, which they claim it is, then employees will voluntarily give money. And that's how the world works.
It shouldn't be compulsory. And that's what the Supreme Court ruled, right? Yeah, I'm surprised it's taken this long for this kind of a case to come up before. You know, the labor unions, and I've known some people who work with labor unions, there was a time and place where they were valuable to people because people could say they're valuable today. Some people would say that, well, then let people voluntarily support them. But I'm talking about there was a time in our country where, people, their health was not considered mm-hmm. on job sites. Mm-hmm.
and those kinds of things. And so they needed an advocate. So they had to unionize.
Well, and I think unions wouldn't have this problem represented by this court case if they would say, listen, we're going to take a certain percentage of your paycheck. You can make it voluntary. I don't care. I think more people would volunteer to do that if the union stuck with bargaining, mm-hmm. you know, with the government.
Right.
But, but because they are such big political players and they give money to candidates and we're going to shut down this anti-abortion.
They're big left wingers.
They're big left wingers. So now you have kind of for conservatives who are in the union, now you've created a problem. I don't want my money going to support this candidate. I don't support that person.
But good. The Supreme Court says they don't have to anymore.
Yep.
That's as Walker said, that's pro-American. Good for them. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
All right. Sticking with legal news, a judge in California on Tuesday ordered U.S. border authorities to reunite separated families within 30 days, setting a hard deadline in a process that has so far yielded uncertainty about when children might again see their parents. If kids are younger than 5, they might actually be reunified within 14 days.
So a federal
days.
Judge, he's got all this figured out.
Yes, he does. And this actually follows a coalition of liberal attorneys general, 18 of them, that are suing the Trump administration to stop the separation of families.
They have no standing. Thus, I rule. I'm just going to rule them right now.
Yeah. And this was a George W. Bush appointee, too, not an Obama guy.
Our system is so messed up, especially with these far left progressive, they call themselves progressive. I think Abe Hamilton calls it regressive. I'll just say right now, 18 attorney generals from different states, they have no authority. Mm-hmm. They have authority in their own state. Mm-hmm. They have no authority to speak about what goes on at the border. Mm-hmm. That's the sole role of the federal government. And really, the president or his administration, for these people to even say we're filing a lawsuit over what? Over something President Trump does?
Yeah, the lawsuit should be thrown out by
judges.
If the judges were doing their job, you know, remember there were individual states who said, well, we're shutting down our border.
Yeah.
The federal government, and they were shut down by federal judges who said, it's not up to you. This is the federal government. President Obama has the right to decide what goes on the border. Texas, you can't. Arizona, you can't. New Mexico, you can't.
Right.
And so now we have a judge in San Diego. This is U.S. District Judge Dana Sabra, I guess is the pronunciation. I'm not sure if Dana is a man's or a woman's name. But
issued a nationwide injunction on future family separations.
Why doesn't an appellate judge say to this judge, you can't do that. You have authority in your district.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right.
It.
Yeah, and a
nationwide injunction by this one, and this is a George W. Bush appointee. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Walker.
Yeah, here's the thing. Despite where you stand on the immigration debate, this should upset all Americans, because those on the left are those who think that we need to, you know, keep families together, we need to catch and release, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. This could be turned around. In 10 years, let's just say we have conservative judges on the bench throughout the country or in certain places, and they rule the opposite effect. People on the left will be outraged, saying they need to be impeached, they're overstepping their boundaries. Immigration, these judges should not even hear it. You should not even be able to submit an immigration case before a judge.
These judges are out of control, totally out of control. These federal judges I'm talking about, they're little gods, and they think they all rule the country. A national injunction by one judge in California, it's like this Hawaii judge did. Mm-hmm. Now, last night I was watching Tucker Carlson, and he had on Senator Johnson. I think Senator Johnson is from Wisconsin.
He's
a Republican. And I think this clip's about 4 minutes or so. A minute? Okay. I don't know what part he's going to talk about here. But Senator Johnson does a great job of explaining part of the problem that exists on the border. The practical problems that our ICE agents and others confront on the border.
Those children, the ones that have come in, about more than 200,000 have come in since 2012, kind of sparked by DACA. Those children, 96.5% of those are still in this country. And that's just reality. And so that fuels additional unaccompanied children from Central America. And then the way we handle family units under President Obama, because, again, you can't keep the children with adults if you're going to prosecute them, put them in adult detention facilities. So you also have to separate those children. And as a result, the Obama administration kept the families together, and that was called catch and release. And if we do not detain right. people coming to this country illegally, they don't show up for hearings, and it's impossible to deport them. So we have had this flood. It's been about 900,000 people minimum coming in family units and unaccompanied children from Central America since 2012. 900,000. We have 3,300 beds in certified, you know, family detention facilities. We got about 40,000 beds for adults detained. We've got 900,000 coming in here since 2012. So we simply don't have the capacity.
Yeah, see, that's just one example of this. The left in this country, they don't care about all this. They don't care about all that. You could explain to them the situation. Why is this? We had a report yesterday of how many criminals have they caught in the last?
Is it 5,000? Was that the article you were talking about?
And I'm talking about something separate now, but I'm talking about 5,000. I think criminals have been caught.
Mm-hmm. It was a Daily Mail article.
And President Trump cited higher numbers over a longer span of time, like a decade or 2 decades.
MS-13.
50, 60, 70,000 criminals.
Yeah, and a lot of them are bringing these children unaccompanied, these coyotes, and they're dropping these children off.
So the adults can come in too, you mean?
Yes, right. Yes. And, or the adults come in, they're not even their parents, they're just bringing these kids so they can get in. Anyway, the point is that Senator Johnson is saying right there, we're over our border agents and our ICE agents and everybody, and our physical capacity to put these people up, so to speak, is overwhelmed. And what the liberal media would do, let's say that we're overwhelmed and we can't contain these folks, we have nowhere to put them, then they would show them just wandering out in the field and see, we're not even helping these poor people. You see how this yeah. works? It's complete.
Well, Senator Johnson, in this yeah. In this interview yeah. that you were talking about with Tucker Carlson, Tucker Carlson asked Senator Johnson, again from Wisconsin, yeah. said, have the Democrats put forward any bill at all
right.
that would try to solve this problem?
Right.
And he said, none, because what they really want is open borders.
Yeah. Right.
So they want chaos down on the borders.
Right.
They're gonna pound away on President Trump and any Republican, which a lot of Republicans are cowardly on this issue anyway, because they want people flowing across the border, and they want them flowing across the border because Central and South America, Mexico included, are primarily socialist governments. They want socialist immigrants coming into this country because they will vote socialist, which is increasingly what the Democratic Party is becoming.
Right.
Yeah, this is like an entire neighborhood, to have an analogy here. This is like an entire neighborhood having no locks on their doors. And then all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, for the past 50 years, you've had hundreds and thousands of break-ins in this neighborhood. And everybody's screaming about how we need to fix this, we got to fix this, we got a problem, and nobody puts locks on the doors. Nobody puts locks on the doors. They want to let the criminals off the hook, and they want to deal with the latter issues, but they don't want to fix the main problem.
You've got a real problem, and I'm not sure exactly what you do about it except keep fighting like President Trump has done, despite the fact that he's just unmercifully attacked every single day for anything he does. And it's like Chuck Schumer said, we don't want to solve this problem. He was almost laughing and snickering.
Yeah.
This is great to watch President Trump have to wallow in this. Mm-hmm. Because that what they want, as you said, Ed, and what the goal is to have open borders, and if you don't have borders, then the Democrats get enough power, then they can give amnesty to everybody,
right.
Give amnesty to everybody, and then all these folks vote Democrat, and then you crush the Republican Party now and forever,
right?
And you fundamentally change America.
That's
what they want to do.
Which is why Democrats, I'll just say this, Democrats do not care about the people coming across the border.
No.
Remember how they could have made a deal with the president
yes.
for a wall? He would have dealt with them,
DACA.
He said, on DACA.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Deferred action for child
gave them more
arrivals.
than they wanted.
Yes.
Even talked some amnesty, but they refused. Remember, and even
right.
Chuck Schumer and some of these folks got some blowback on that.
Right.
But it proves they do not actually care about the people coming across the border. They care about what political changes those people across the border can make for them.
And, you know, quite frankly, if you cared about these children that everybody claims to care about, the Democrats and the liberals and the media and everybody, you would do like President Obama did, which we played that clip. You would say to them, do not bring children from Central America to our borders. Don't do it. It's too dangerous. And we don't know what we'll do with them. This is what President Obama was saying.
Right.
To his credit.
That was in 2009.
We played that to his credit. Now, had President Trump said the same thing, it would have been xenophobic, racist, whatever. But we're just saying what President Obama said a few years ago. Do not bring these unaccompanied children to our country.
Right.
Anyway, what's next?
Well, Democrats continue to denounce the Supreme Court ruling in favor of President Trump's travel ban. This is Senator Cory Booker, Democrat from New Jersey.
Do I have to listen to this?
It's only 8 seconds.
Okay, thank you.
This is a moral moment for our nation, where a president who openly wants to put a religious test on citizenship.
Now, following Booker's lead is Congressman Keith Ellison of Minnesota, who said basically Trump and his Supreme Court are winning because Republicans stole the Supreme Court seat from Obama appointee Merrick Garland.
We are going to keep on pressing. It just proves one thing, that if you steal and rip off a Supreme Court justice, then you can try to jam any kind of nasty, racist, ugly policy you can down the throats of the American people.
Now, that's assuming Garland would have been appointed by the then GOP-led Senate, which is still GOP-led. You know, Justice Kennedy is in the Supreme Court now because he was not the person that Reagan wanted. He appointed a guy named Robert Bork that the Democratic-led Senate said, we're not having this guy.
Right.
And then Kennedy comes forward as a nominee and here, you know, history.
Yeah, actually, those kind of quote, the clips you just played, we had agreed that we would play them in the next half hour so that Tim could not have to hear them.
I remember my last day on this show.
I think he said he did not want to hear Keith Ellison.
Yes.
And we talked, actually, we talked about
it. It was a pleasure being on here, Tim.
We did talk in the, during our story meeting about Cory Booker going, you know, these people talk about on the left.
Senator from New Jersey.
From New Jersey. He's talking about no religious test.
Right.
Okay. And yet they hound Christians when they come before the Senate for approval.
Right.
Well, Cory Booker, the senator you just heard there about accusing President Trump of applying a religious test to because
Muslims
of the travel ban.
Over. Right.
He's the one who went after
Pompeo a couple
Mike
of months
Pompeo.
Ago.
Yes, he went after Mike Pompeo for his Christianity.
Right.
So this guy's, he does exactly what he says. It's okay for the left if you go after Christians.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're open season on Christians. Mm-hmm. It's just don't go after Muslims.
Yeah, and we're not even saying these things are equivalent because there is no religious test for serving in the U.S. government for citizens. There is nothing in the Constitution that says that the president, in fact, the president has every right. If he wants to apply a religious test,
he can.
Yes. Right. Both according to statutes, laws in this country, and the constitutional authority
Says any group of aliens,
yes,
for whatever reason.
Whatever reason.
Like I said yesterday, President Trump wanted to ban dwarfs. You know, he could do it. You know, and he doesn't have to make a case for it.
And here's what makes this worse. No, not one single reporter on the record will ask them, well, Senator Booker, how is this a religious test? Because Christians from these seven nations are also banned.
Yes.
And put the mic up to their hand.
Good point.
But nobody asks him those questions.
Right.
Yeah.
They go uncontested.
Yeah. The left in this country, these progressives, they operate on emotion and feelings and what their view of justice is, and they disregard the law or the process. They seem to. I know they disregard the law because I read Justice Sotomayor's view on this. She just going, President Trump. This is a Supreme Court justice. President Trump just doesn't like Muslims. Therefore, I'm ruling for him.
Yeah.
No, there's no legal justification for her decision. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
on the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, we only go to the Holy Land once a year, and that's in March. Last year, we filled up several months in advance. So if you want to go in March of 2019, it's time to look at the details. You can get a brochure from us at 800-FAMILIES, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your telephone number, or go to twholyland.com, twholyland.com. It's going to be a wonderful time in Israel. We'll go to the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, the holy city of Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Masada, the Dead Sea, and on the list goes. If you'd like to go with us in March of 2019, all the information is available at twholyland.com. Order a brochure by calling 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The new face of the Democrat Party is a 28-year-old socialist who wants to abolish ICE. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez stunned the political world by taking down Congressman Joe Crowley, the powerful 10-term incumbent in New York's 14th congressional district. Rolling Stone points out Ms. Ocasio-Cortez is to the left of Bernie Sanders. She campaigned on free Medicaid, free college tuition, legalizing illegals, and something called a universal job guarantee. She wants to mandate that every employer in the nation provide a minimum $15 an hour wage plus full health care. The only thing that would guarantee is universal unemployment. As I warned you in my book, The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again, the bigger story back in 2016 was the rise of socialism. And now we are watching the Democrats lurch to the far left, an untenable and unwinnable election strategy. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano in studio with Walker Wildman. And we're going to continue on. Chris, what's kind of the next really good thing we were going to talk about? Because this is just awesome.
Yes.
I just, our country, you know, unraveling, you know, one strand at a time, and we got a front row seat.
Yeah, two people being unhinged, you know.
Although, let me just say this, we have had some good rulings from the Supreme Court.
Oh, no doubt.
Life and the future of the Republic could have been a lot more grim if these decisions had gone the other way, 5-4. And so, we don't want to be overly negative. We had some good news this week.
Speaking of the Supreme Court, there were no retirement announcements today from the bench. Now, that doesn't mean that a Justice Kennedy or a Justice Ginsburg or somebody could decide on July 4th, hey, I'm going to leave. You know, I've had my time. Thanks for having me. That kind
of thing. Well, now, that's an interesting question, because the rumors about Anthony Kennedy retiring have been going on for a year.
Long
but
time.
They really heated up in the spring. But now, my understanding was that he had hired his staff again for another year. Isn't that usually indicative that they're going to stay, or can they still decide, well, sorry, you know, you have to find other jobs?
To the best of my knowledge, they could, they could have them available and then still decide, you know, I'm going to step aside. The interesting thing here is the next term, it ended today. They're out for summer. But the next term begins around October. And so
First Monday in October.
So if Kennedy or someone else were to decide I'm going to retire, President Trump would have the nominee put out there, and I would think Republicans would try to confirm him or her before they get to the November election, so that way they can fulfill the session and have it done as an election issue before Democrats and the other unhinged people on the left, the far left, try to have their way.
Unhinged left.
Yes.
That kind of seems to lead us our next story.
We have clip one here, Brent. This is an RNC commercial pointing out the unhinged Democrats building off of comments from people like Maxine Waters.
A few years ago, ideas that we talked about were thought to be fringe ideas, radical ideas, extremist ideas. Those ideas are now mainstream.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore, anywhere.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless c***.
What's Uncle Tom but for white women who disappoint other white women?
One way you get rid of Trump is a crashing economy. So please, bring on the recession.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
Wow. That's an RNC ad?
That is an RNC ad of people that very clearly need Jesus in their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Walker, that's when you hear that kind of stuff strung together, I mean, that does sound... you take a lot of abuse from your dad and others around here of my age group. You're a younger guy, and we need young people. And you guys, we have some great young people here. But what I'm going to say is about something that happened before you were born,
right?
And you just can read about it or say, but a lot of this reminds me, and Chris, this is before you're kind of young, you know.
I'm the oldest on the millennial demographic.
Yes, but I remember the '60s. Mm-hmm. I remember the '60s and the early '70s, mostly the '60s, and this reminds me of that. There was violence. There, a lot of people don't remember. Some people do remember the Weather Underground and the SDS, Students for a Democratic Society. These were all a lot of Black Panthers, the original Black Panthers. Mm-hmm. This reminds me of the '60s. You know, the Weather other Underground. You know, detonated bombs. There were assassinations of people running for president. Martin Luther King was assassinated. I mean, it was a tumultuous time, and the just like back then, the ones who were radical were on the left. Okay, now I don't know the motivation for the assassination, whether it's one person or many, of Martin Luther King. That might have been on the right. I don't know. That that may very well have been, but most of this was on the left, and that appears to be what's happening now. These are all leftist voices we heard, right, starting with Bernie Sanders, I think.
Mm-hmm. It was.
We had Madonna in the mix. We had Samantha Bee, Michelle Wolf, who's at the Washington Correspondents' dinner, who was in that the quote where she was talking about, what do we say about women who won't help other women? She's talking about
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
So these are all voices on the left. Right. That seemed to be unhinged.
Yeah, and the Democrats and the left, I kind of lumped them in together, they don't know how to work through the democratic process. They've totally abandoned voter mobilization, winning over legislative seats, working your way through the executive branch. They've totally abandoned all the ways that our founders set up. If you want your agenda implemented and made law, then these are the ways you do it. You know, you take over your legislative seat, you do this, and you do this, all through peaceful means. The left has totally abandoned it, and now they win by rogue judges, they win by bullying and intimidation. And it's really a disrespect to our country's founding, because our founding fathers set it up in such a way that if your idea is the most popular one, most likely it can become the widely accepted view. And even if it's not a good idea, such as Roe v. Wade.
Right.
But the left has totally forgotten that, and it's really anarchy is what it is.
Let me just say one quick thing, so I don't want our listeners to misunderstand me. If the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists are on the right, and I guess most people say they are, I don't want to argue that point. I do want to make note of the fact that those are also dangerous people if they're advocating violence.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to just say, it's all on the left. That would also be a danger. But here's the difference. Mm-hmm. Everyone I know who's a conservative rejects that group. But on the left, the majority are starting to go towards this more mm-hmm. radical mm-hmm. / socialist / Marxist
yeah.
way of approaching politics. So go yeah. ahead, Chris.
Well, you know, and we've talked about people following Maxine Waters' suggestion there for people to confront others, people they don't agree with. Last night, a group of protesters confronted Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and his wife, Department of Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao. They were leaving an event at Georgetown University in D.C. It's clip two.
Why did you leave my husband alone?
You know, the sad thing is this will probably happen tomorrow with someone else. It's gotten to the point where Sarah Huckabee Sanders, White House spokeswoman, she's receiving Secret Service protection now based on viewpoints against her. I hate to say it, but I mean it's gonna reach a point where something bad is going to happen. I don't want it to.
I watched this video. It's about a minute and a half of these students or younger folks approaching Elaine Chao and Senator Mitch McConnell. And this security is way too laxed, and it's going to lead to somebody getting hurt. Mm-hmm. Because just hypothetically, if one of those guys had a gun, then somebody would be dead. Because such as the DHS secretary who's trying to have dinner in Washington, D.C., these protesters or, you know, dissenters got within like 10 feet of her dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not one of them. It's like 10 of them. And there's two security guards. So I'm thinking, what are y'all doing allowing them to even get that close? They got to the back of the Suburban of Senator Mitch McConnell. There's like six of them, and there's two security guards. So if one or two of them have knives or guns, how is this going to go? It's not going to go well. So then there has to be some kind of buffer zone or something to where you can't just approach the Senate Majority Leader.
And a cabinet secretary.
Yeah.
Well, but here's part of the problem. Once you get to the place where you have to use security guards to back a crowd off, you have reached a boiling point that things are only going to get worse. Because yeah. what if they start shoving the security
right.
guards or the secret police? Guns are going to come out, and that's where you're going to have stuff going wrong. The problem is that the left loves intimidation. You talked about this, yeah. Walker. They love getting yeah. up in people's face. They love, like Antifa did, like Occupy Wall Street and all these other things, they love pushing it to violence because their Marxist beliefs, at core, these are Marxist beliefs, are that you've got to break a few eggs if you want to make an omelet. So that they want to push yeah. things to this point. One of the things I just was seeing this morning, a Rasmussen poll says 31% of likely U.S. voters say it's likely that the United States will experience a second civil war sometime in the next 5 years, with 11% who say it's very likely. That's not a majority mm-hmm. yet, but that is a growing number, Rasmussen reports. So I think people can kind of smell it in the air, sense it, whatever yeah. you want to say. They realize that the tempers are flaring, and I think some of them are understanding that this is an organized effort to, you know, the old expression, being up a creek without a paddle.
Mm-hmm.
let me just change that metaphor a little bit. Radicals want to tip over the canoe and grab the paddles.
Yeah.
Okay. Once they're in the water, so they can take over. I think that's what motivates them.
Yeah, I've said before that I would be shocked if we reach the middle of the century and we still have the current 50 states in this union. We've already seen efforts and calls in California to leave the union, not the three-state thing that is being pushed now that they're going to vote on, but actually a Calexit, if you will.
Yes.
It's something horrible is going to happen. I don't know how it's going to be solved. What's interesting with Sarah Sanders, her dad, Mike Huckabee, was on the Todd Starnes show talking about that situation over the weekend. And after she was asked to leave the Red Hen, she and her husband were done. He said they left. Now, the party they were with, which were her husband's family members, they went across the street to another restaurant where the owner, according to Mike Huckabee, the owner of the Red Hen, organized a group to go over there and heckle the family. They thought Sarah was still there. Her brother-in-law, that Mike describes as a liberal, came out and was like, what are you people doing? This is not good for the cause. So there are people on the left, we would say, there are people on the left that have confronted these people saying, you are not helping. If only we had more of those people confronting them and making news for that.
Yeah, our country, only in America can you dissent to this extent and be protected by our Constitution. And that's what makes our country great. But if you start abusing your rights and your privileges, then that's when you have anarchy.
All right, well, we want to welcome here in just a moment Abraham Hamilton III. You hear his program, The Hamilton Corner. I hear his Hamilton Minute on occasion during programs while I'm commuting. Always insightful. He's also a public policy analyst. And so, Abe, welcome once again to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
And thank you for being on. You've got nothing else to do. I know. You just sit around waiting. Listen, we've been talking about one of your favorite issues, okay? We're talking about the increasing violence, the Marxist roots of the leftists in this country. One thing I wanted to make mention of, we'll get your take on it, and maybe we can settle down and move to your take on some of the Supreme Court rulings this week. But I woke up this morning and noted, according to a BusinessInsider.com story, I didn't know that this had been the result, but a 28-year-old, this is the story, a 28-year-old political newcomer beat a veteran politician in New York's Democratic Party congressional primary election Tuesday night in a shocking upset within the Democratic Party. The one who lost, Joe Crowley, has represented that Democratic district since 1999, had been touted as a potential future House Speaker, and the winner, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is a socialist. Mm-hmm. So, Abe, you know, we've been talking about how the Democratic Party and the left is being, and I don't want to overstate this, but they're being radicalized. They're being pushed further and further to the left. This was a shock to political experts. Do you think this is a one-off, or do you think we're going to see more of this over the next decade?
No, I think we will see more of this over the next decade. I don't see it as a one-off. This follows the leftward lurch of the National Democrat Party following the 2016 election, where Bernie Sanders drove Hillary Clinton further to the left. Many of the positions that she adopted by the time the general election came were not her positions during the primary. She became more and more left-leaning. We see California basically has purged itself from any modicum of a moderate Democrat. I mean, when Dianne Feinstein can't get the state party's endorsement, when she's been the senior senator from the state of California for a long time as a Democrat.
I forgot about that.
And yet the state Democrat Party did not vote to support her in this year's election. I think this is an indication of what the Democrat Party is today. I think we can say very clearly, without even batting an eyelash, that the Democrat Party is the Socialist Party of America.
Hmm. Well, and I think, and we'll let Walker and Chris, you guys jump in here. I think that's exactly right. I think that's socialism is the future. We just played an RNC ad that starts off with Bernie Sanders saying some of the ideas that used to be fringe ideas. He's talking socialism.
Mainstream.
Yeah. Used to be fringe ideas are now mainstream. I think that is where the Republic, where the Democratic Party is going. Walker, part of the problem, though, is that Republicans don't seem, by and large, don't seem to be able to articulate a conservative case for their own party. Yeah. So they just kind of hang on to business as usual. We can't even get the, can't even present a unified conservative case for the immigration debacle down on the border. Mm-hmm. So you sit there and you go, well, the Democrats are organizing and they are starting to kind of coalesce around this socialist vision for America. And what about the Republicans? They're just standing up there, twirling their hair and enjoying the good life.
Right.
And if they can't present or articulate a conservative vision, who's going to win over the next decade?
I will say this, under President Trump's leadership of the RNC, they have gotten a little bit better about defending our conservative viewpoints, better than years past. In years and decades past, the GOP has been always the guilty person, always apologizing, and always trying to figure out how they can cross the aisle. But I will say the GOP under President Trump has become, they've grown a backbone, if you will. But one of the problems is that your average Republican or conservative or even Christian, they're so used to getting shouted down or called a Nazi, a hater, a racist, a homophobe, that we can't even have discussions anymore. Now, that's not always the case, but in large part, who wants to have that discussion at dinner across the table when the person across the table is going to call you a Nazi?
Yeah,
you
know,
that's one of the problems.
Or, Abe, if you're out having a conversation, you're going to have maybe people, big cities, it's not going to happen in middle America, I don't think, but in big cities, you're going to have people surrounding you at your table saying, shame, shame, shame. I mean, this seems to be, I know Nancy Pelosi, you know, is saying, well, we need to kind of tamp down on some of these calls for confrontation, but the Maxine Waters ideology or approach to political discourse seems to be gaining steam.
Yeah, and I find it pretty interesting that Nancy Pelosi is calling for a tamp down of the Maxine Waters advocacy. Because remember, when she was having her own town hall meeting in San Francisco, where you had advocates for amnesty for, in their words, all 11 million, shouting down Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah.
So she has been a victim, if you will, firsthand of these type of methods. But unfortunately, the toothpaste is out of the tube.
Yeah.
I think we'll see much more of this. And I don't know how you find your way back, because they justify this type of public agitation under the guise of saying that those who they oppose are just inherently evil.
Right.
So their evil is their behavior is justified because of the inherent evil of their opponent. And so, and to Walker's point, how do you reason with a group of people who have already foreclosed you as evil and then seek to shout you down that we are? This is a precarious point in our nation's history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just mentioned a Rasmussen poll that cites that 31% of likely U.S. voters say it's likely that the United States will experience a second civil war sometimes in the next 5 years. So I think that is a growing number as people see more and more of this kind of stuff take place.
Mm.
All right, let's kind of switch gears. Since we got you in here, we got a legal mind. Constitutional mind. I was pointing at you, as well as someone who understands the Bible and understands politics. So that's a great combination. We want to take advantage of it while you are here. So we have, we've talked about some this week, about some of the Supreme Court rulings,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to do a reasoning company today on that. But and I know that's what we said we're going to talk to you about, but let me just ask you this one question first before we get to some of these other rulings to get your take. There is a judge in San Diego today who ruled against the president and said,
Shocker.
Yes.
30 days.
Within 30 days, mm-hmm. you have to put these families back together that are coming across the border. This was a ruling that the judge said applies all the way across the country. So I want to check to make sure that I don't have this wrong, okay, because I said something last segment. A federal district judge has authority in that district only. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay, so how does a judge get away with saying, yeah, I'm a judge, a federal district judge in San Diego, but I'm ruling and it applies to the entire country? How do they get away with that?
Okay, I'll answer your question, but before I answer your question directly, I'm going to say you are raising the exact same question that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas raised in his concurring opinion in the Trump v. Hawaii decision that was issued yesterday.
That is about the so-called travel ban.
Yes, where the immigration suspension order was upheld against the preliminary injunction by the Supreme Court. Justice Thomas says clearly, quote, I am skeptical that district courts have the authority to enter universal injunctions, also known as nationwide injunctions. These injunctions did not emerge until a century and a half after the founding, and they appear to be inconsistent with the longstanding limits and equitable relief and the power of Article III courts. Pause. Article III is the provision of the Constitution that creates these district courts. Keyword there, district courts. If these courts were intended to have nationwide authority, they would not be confined to a district.
Right.
Justice Thomas is saying the exact same thing you're saying. Then he goes on. If their popularity continues, this court must address their legality. Now, he said that because Justice Roberts refused to address this issue in the majority opinion in the Trump v. Hawaii case, where a Hawaii judge issued a nationwide injunction. And to conclude this little stanza, Justice Thomas goes on to say, if district courts have any authority to issue universal injunctions, that authority must come from a statute or the Constitution. Now, to your point, there is no statute that gives district courts the authority to issue nationwide injunctions. There are no provisions in the Constitution that allow for it. The only way that it happens is because the body that is charged with oversight over Article III courts, namely Congress, they refuse to exercise that oversight. Mm-hmm. The remedy for these overreaching district courts is for the Congress to slap them down and say, you have exceeded your authority. You could censure a judge who does it. You can impeach a judge who does it for not adhering to the oath to protect and defend the Constitution. You can completely can the entire court. Congress has that authority to do so. But because they have not done so, it's kind of those things like sin. Sin left unchecked grows. Right. It's not going to retract on its own. Left unchecked, it expands. And that's what's happening. You have judges expanding their authority beyond the scope of the Constitution.
Yeah. Why have a Supreme Court if lower court judges can issue nationwide injunctions? This is a double-edged sword. Because this same stuff, while it seems to only be working against conservative items, it could be well turned if God blesses this country and we take a turn back towards the Constitution in 50 years, and then you have conservative constitutional judges overstepping their authority and issuing, quote, conservative, you know, items, the left will be outraged mm-hmm. at that. And so it really undermines the whole system.
Well, and it seems to me, and we're going to probably wind up closing with this discussion. There's just not enough time to go and talk about some of these other Supreme Court rulings. But it's not only incumbent upon Congress. You're right. They have the primary oversight. In fact, constitutionally, the Constitution creates the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. but Congress has the authority to set up the appellate court structure.
Every other
and
federal
the district.
Court.
So that's mm-hmm. Congress's. But it seems to me that you should at least have the Supreme Court slapping them down, and appellate courts should be slapping mm-hmm. them down. I would think like the Ninth Circuit appellate court should say, you can't do that.
Yeah.
We're slapping you down.
But the reason why you don't see that is because the Ninth Circuit agrees with it.
Yes.
And
they agree with the ruling.
Agree with the ruling. And the only time you would see that is if you see courts that disagree with those rulings. And I agree. I believe it was cowardly by John Roberts and the majority to not address the universal, as Justice Thomas refers it, nationwide injunction. And that is the reason why he wrote separately to identify and highlight that issue. He provided a wonderful constitutional analysis of that issue and saying, basically, listen, these district courts do not have this authority. Why are we letting them do it?
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, we're going to take a 5-minute break for news. When we come back, we'll have more great stuff for you to think about. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.